Hanhor yevortvo yevokuinser po. Amen. As I said earlier to the children that were here for the children's sermon, this past Thursday was Thanksgiving. And this is a time that we remember all of our blessings from God. Our homes, our cars, the clothing we have, the food we have to eat, our work, the money we have in our bank accounts, our health, our family, and our friends, and many, many, many other blessings. And usually after Christmas, after Thanksgiving, the Christmas season begins. And during this Christmas season, Advent, we remember all of those who do not have the things that we have, right? And in reality, the world and people can be divided into two groups, the haves and the have-nots, those who have things and those who do not have things, any one of those blessings I mentioned, and others. Some have them and some do not. This is not a new concept. From Christ's time, this existed. And we hear this in the gospel today. In the gospel reading, Christ talks about a man who was blessed with a large harvest, so much so that he couldn't fit it all into his barn. And so he decides, he says to himself, I am going to take down my barn and make it bigger so I can accommodate all of this harvest that I have. And he does this. He takes it down, he builds a larger one, and all of it fits in there. And he says to himself that he can now relax, eat, drink, and be merry for many, many years to come, because I have all this harvest. And then Christ goes on to say that in that night, God comes to him and demands his soul, and says that all that you have done is in vain, because now I want you to come with me. From this parable, we learn two things from the man who has much. First of all, he never sees anything or anyone else but himself. He only thinks of himself and his survival. And if we read this parable correctly, it is the most egocentric parable of all the parables that Christ tells. Because when we read it, it is full of pronouns. I'm not going into English lessons now. But pronouns of I, mine, my, me. It's all about him. He never once says, I have all this extra food, all this extra harvest. I should give it to someone else. I should give it to the poor. I should give it to my family. I should give it to my friends. Never once does it cross his mind, but rather he does the complete opposite. He says, I am going to build a larger barn to keep it all. Many of us, glory to God, have lots of food. Nobody says, I bought all this food, let me go buy a larger refrigerator or a bigger kitchen. Let me remake my whole kitchen so I can accommodate more food. But more often than not, we call up a neighbor or a friend and say, I have all this extra onions or eggs. Do you want some? This is what we are called to do, not what this man does and say, it's all for me. He's constantly thinking of more, more, more. And it goes to the old Roman proverb that says, money or wealth is like seawater, like the water of the sea. The more a man drinks, the more thirsty he becomes. He also never sees beyond this life. He's only thinking about this life and what exists here. He never plans or thinks of the life to come, which God demands of him that evening. There's a story of an old man and a young boy who are talking. And the young boy says, I know what I'm going to do with my life. I am going to learn my trade. And the great old man says, that's good, then what? He then says, I'm going to set up a business. That's good, he says, then what are you going to do? I'm going to make a fortune and lots of money. That's good, he says, the old man. Then what? He then says, I'll probably grow old and retire and enjoy all the money I have made. The old man says, that's very good. Then what? The boy says, well, then probably I'm going to die. The old man says, that's good. Then what? He doesn't think about what's going to happen after it. He only thinks of what's happening now. And many of us who are blessed in this land that have many, many things only think of this world. We think about retirement funds. We think about how our family is going to survive if something happens to us. We think about this world only. But very rarely do we think about the world to come, that which is waiting for us and we will all go to. Christ addresses also the have-nots. And many of us will think of us, oh, we're have-nots. We don't have this, 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 and this. And this is true at times. But he says, don't worry. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Because all of that distracts you and removes you from the truth of Christ. It strangles our faith, our love, and our relationship with God. I didn't say this in the Armenian because it didn't sound right, but in English I can say it. The word worry, comes from old English, and it's related to the words in English of ring, to wring something out, writhe in pain, wrestle, and reef, the things that sort of interlock and they are twisted and tortured, or to turn and to twist. Because when we are overcome with anxiety, when we are overcome with pain and worry, those of you hopefully have not had this, but if you have ever seen someone who has had an anxiety attack, they are being strangled. Their breath is cut short. It feels as if someone is strangling them. And they are writhing and being wrung out. This is what worry does to us. And Christ says very explicitly, don't let that worry do that to you. I have given you life. I have given you breath. Don't let the worries take that breath away from you. Because they are temporary. They are not eternal. They are a worry for today, and tomorrow it will be something different. Focus on those things that are eternal. And he says, namely, the kingdom of God. If you focus on that, which is eternal and will never disappear, all the other things will disappear. They won't bother you, they won't worry you, they won't make you anxious anymore. This is what we have to do. We do not live in a world that teaches this. We have an entire business, industry, and I apologize to anyone who's in insurance, but an entire industry that's built upon worry. Are you going to live this long? Are you going to get into an accident? Is your house going to burn down? Are you going to get sick? All these things. We have an entire business built upon this. And God bless those who are in that business because they help us in reality. But it also makes us think over and over about these things and not the things that matter and the things that are eternal. So as we enter this Advent season and Christmas, I ask that we are reminded and are focused not on the temporary, not on the things that are here for a couple of weeks, months, years, or decades, but focus on the things that have been founded from the beginning of time and will go on for eternity, the kingdom of heaven. And when we are able to do that, we are able truly to be called Christians and be known as Christians to all who see us and see Christ in us. Amen.